Appreciate Mary Beth sharing that message with us, because it's really what I want to talk to you today about, something that God has laid on my heart. Last week we said God was expectant, but you know, God can also be dangerous, and following God can be kind of scary sometimes. And Mary Beth has learned many times that she just has to face those fears, and she's usually blessed by it. So thank you, Mary Beth, for sharing that. I'll tell you something, I'm not really afraid that much of getting up in front of people. That's what you call a fool, I think. But my fear is heights. I'm moderately fearful of heights. I need to tell you a story about when I was about 10, going on 11 years old. The Dale family packed up the station wagon, and the seven of us went out west to tour the national parks and other places of beauty out west. We got to Zion National Park in southern Utah, one of the most beautiful places, and it's certainly my favorite national park, and I have some great memories there. When we first got into the national park, we went into the guest area and went to the park ranger. And my dad said, while we're here, I would like for us to go on a hike so we can really get out and enjoy nature and have an adventure. I really want this to be a great adventure. The park ranger took a look at us, and he said, well, I think this trail would be really good for you. It's about a mile and a half long. It has some ups and downs to it, but you'll see some beautiful scenery out there and lots of birds and wild animals. And my dad said, well, I don't know that a mile and a half is really what we want, and I don't think little rolling hills. I really want to get into the mountains. I want to have a real adventure. Well, this conversation went back and forth, and my dad was not satisfied with anything the ranger was telling him. And finally he said, what's the most dangerous trail we can go on? And the man said, well, without carabiners and pitons and a couple hundred feet of rope, the most dangerous trail you can go on is the Lady Mountain Trail. Dad said, that's the one I want. So the next morning we got up. Several of us, not the whole family, but about four of us, went up very early in the morning and started hiking Lady Mountain Trail. And very quickly, it started getting really steep. And we had lots of switchbacks and rocks to jump over. And after we got to a certain height, there was a sheer drop-off. And I'm not talking about, you know, rails that you hold on to. I'm talking about sheer drop-off. So we're hiking along, you know, and I start to take my next step, and I see a big gap, and I can't even see the bottom, you know, and so I step over it like this, and my foot starts going like this. And my dad says, Brian, that's not going to help. I know it's not helping, but I can't help it. He says, you need to remember, you know, that even the scriptures tell us not to be afraid. It says God will command the angels to attend to you so that you won't even stub your foot across a stone. And I thought, well, that's true. Wait a minute. Isn't that what Satan quoted to Jesus when he was trying to get him to jump off the mountain? Dad, that's not helping. So anyway, we kept going on up in the mountain, and it kept getting more and more treacherous. There came a point where there was actually an aluminum ladder bolted to the side of the mountain that we had to climb up to get to the next step. And at the bottom of that ladder it said, do not attempt to use ladder during a thunderstorm. Okay, that's good news. We went on that. We kept going around. There came another place where it was just sheer cliff over here, sheer cliff over here, and a foothold about a foot wide. And we had to go across that about 20 yards. There was a chain bolted to the mountainside so that we could hold on to the chain while we were going across the face of the mountain. Is my dad crazy or what? But you know what? As scared as I was, when we got to the top, it was a view of the world I had never seen before. And it was just as scary going back down, because now we couldn't even look up. We had to be looking down. But when we got to the bottom, I was exhilarated. I was full of life. And I'm not just talking about an adrenaline rush, I'm talking about a soul rush. The kind of rush where I truly felt alive and I could feel the air in my lungs and I could see the sunshine and I had an experience of the world that I'd never had before because my Father had taken me out of my comfort zone and led me into dangerous places for me to gather an adventure of life I never would have gotten on my own. Several months ago, my siblings and I were reminiscing about that day, and we all agreed that was the stupidest thing we'd ever done, and we'd never do it with our children. And nowadays, of course, Lady Mountain Trail is closed to amateur hikers. They've taken the chains and the ladders off the mountainside, and you can only go up if you're an experienced climber with the right equipment. But oh, it's an experience I'll never forget. Because life is dangerous. Even when we try not to climb mountains, life is dangerous. Every time we get on the interstate in Atlanta, it's more dangerous than Lady Mountain Trail was for me. And God is dangerous. God is dangerous. When you look at the Scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, there's so many Scriptures that warn about how powerful God is. He's slow to anger, but He does get angry, and there are consequences to our actions. So we can understand the fear that might have been in King Herod's heart when he learned from the wise men that God was having a baby to be born that would be the next king. And in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him." That translation says disturbed, others say troubled, others say terrified. "And all Jerusalem with him." Because they understood that God is dangerous. And when God is ready to act in this world and do a new thing, He's going to turn everything upside down. And those of us who are so comfortable and so complacent in this world have reason to be afraid. But God is also gracious, and God is also able to make these fearful situations come together for good for us as He transforms the world to bring righteousness where there is evil. And that's the good news. God calls people out of their comfort zones to participate with Him in the transformation of the world. He called Abraham to leave his home and go to a strange land. He called Moses to go back home after he had already run away, to go back home where he was wanted for murder. He called Jonah to leave his own home and go to the home of his enemies to prophesy that God will come. So God calls us out of our comfort zone all through the Scriptures and, of course, in our own daily lives as well. Jesus called us out of our comfort zones. James and John, "Take down your nets, follow me, I'll make you fish for people." That made us sound like a great invitation, but they also knew that it could be dangerous. And in fact, Jesus warned people that it could be dangerous. He said, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." And by sword, He didn't mean, "I come to start an army and kill people." He meant, "I come to bring the sword which divides people and families and divides us one way or the other. My word is truth. And when you hear my truth and decide for it or against it, it can separate family members. Father against son, mother against daughter, brother against sister, sister against brother. It's not safe to hear the Word of God because it compels you to make a decision. And when people you love don't make the same decision, that's dangerous. That's dangerous because you've got to go one way or the other, and you can't be complacent or half-hearted about believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we get ready for Advent, we have to realize that these can be dangerous times, but also life-giving times. When God calls us out of our comfort zones, it's kind of like Amanda was showing with these children how scary it might have been to jump into the water, but isn't it rewarding to learn how to swim? And how scary it might have been for me to climb Lady Mountain, but how exhilarating and life-giving it is. And Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But it doesn't come without a cost. It comes with the cost of a decision that can be dangerous and can cause you to go places where you don't want to go. But we need to realize that God has His reasons why He's so dangerous and wants us to go out of our comfort zones. Number one, God wants to teach us that He can be trusted. And just like jumping into a pool into your mother's arms, it can start in small ways. It can start with somebody like Mary Beth getting up to talk in front of people. But it's not going to stop there. She's going to go on to greater and greater things. I know it because I've been watching her. What is God calling you to do to get out of your comfort zone? Is God calling you to face a new job? That's scary. Is God calling you to face retirement? Maybe He has something even grander in store for you after you quit working for a living and start working for Him. Maybe you have been inflicted with an ailment that is life-threatening, and God is calling you to learn to trust Him to walk with you the rest of the way. God calls us out of our comfort zone, but He also equips us and gifts us in special ways. Last week, when we were talking about God being expectant, we opened up a gift here, and it turned out to be not the crown we were expecting, but something completely surprising, a crown of thorns. That's what we opened this year. Last week, I mean. This week, we actually have two gifts. And I'm wondering what it is that God has given us to help us face the future unafraid. Maybe I can get a couple of volunteers. Are there any children that might want to help me open up a present? Okay, why don't you come on down and... Yeah, you can come down too. That'll be good. I've got two presents from... And now, these are not my presents. These are... It's okay. We'll wait for you. We have two presents here, and these are from God. These are presents that are going to help us. Why don't you try to... Here, I'll help you slide that off. Maybe we can slide that right off. Yeah, there we go. And why don't you slide that ribbon off? There we go. Y'all go ahead and open that up. We'll see what God has in store for us. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What do you have there? What is that? Hay? Grass? It's actually wheat. You see, each of these little things is a wheat berry, and inside of it is a grain of wheat. Yeah, let's just pop that off right there. What do you see down in there? Grapes. So what do we do with wheat and grapes? We make bread out of wheat, right? And we make grape juice or wine out of the grapes. Y'all can go ahead and sit down now, okay? Thank you. You see, God equips us in a very special way to face the dangers of this world. He gives us communion. He gives us community. He gives us relationship. And it was around... Just lost my microphone. It was around the table of our Lord. Where is it? There we go. Okay. It was around the table of our Lord that Jesus had fellowship with His disciples. And He said, as long as you eat together and share this food together and remember Me, I will be with you.